Thank you. Yeah. So I guess third time is a charm. You are finally going to hear from me today. So I want to acknowledge a couple of people that are in the room. I am going to be presenting the presentation today, but Otis Owens is also in the room. He's another project coordinator that's on this project as well. Tracy Thomas could not be here today. She actually just had a baby, but just wanted to acknowledge her, as well as the other authors, Dr. Daniela Friedman and Dr. James A. Bear. So today I'm going to be talking to you about a pilot project that we have going on focusing on prostate cancer. But as you can see from the title, it is a comprehensive mixed methods assessment of African-American men and women's health and cancer decision making. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so why do we care about the way people make decisions about their health or about their cancer? Well, one of the things that's really important is that African Americans are more likely to develop and die from cancer than any other racial or ethnic group. And then prostate cancer in particular, the incidence and mortality are significantly higher in African American men compared with white men. So the incidence is approximately 60% higher and the mortality is approximately 150% higher for African American men versus white men. And I am from the University of South Carolina, so all of the work that we do is in South Carolina, particularly the upstate of South Carolina. And in the state of South Carolina, the prostate cancer burden is 50% higher than the national average. So a lot of burden in the state of South Carolina. So this work is sort of really important in that area. Some of you may know, some may not, but prostate cancer is pretty controversial. So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends no routine screening for prostate cancer using the prostate-specific antigen test, and that's regardless of age. Also, the sort of reason why this was sort of had come about is because screening guidelines were based on two longitudinal studies that included few to no African-American men. So we have some, you know, we have a group saying don't get screened at all, but this doesn't focus on any African-American men, so how sort of are we comfortable making that kind of recommendation? The American Cancer Society recommends that men make an informed decision with their health care provider about prostate cancer screening. And so an informed decision really is helping men understand the risks, the benefits, and the uncertainties with regard to prostate cancer screening and treatment. And so that's sort of the way that this project was developed, and we talk a lot about informed decision making. So why is this significant? Well, this study is one of the first to examine the equal involvement of African-American female family members in a prostate cancer education intervention to assess and promote informed decision-making among men. So why are women important? Well, we know that men don't always like to think about their health, and a lot of times they're prompted by a significant other, another female family member, sister, or mother to really get into the healthcare provider and to talk to someone about getting screened. So we really wanted to see not only what are men thinking about screening, but also what are women thinking about screening, and how can both of those people be used to get people into the doctor's office? Okay. So the purpose of this project was to use a mixed methods approach to assess African-American men's and women's knowledge and attitudes regarding prostate cancer screening prevention, health and cancer-related decision-making practices, as well as looking at the impact of a community photo voice experience and booklet. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. I also have some booklets to sort of pass around so everyone in the audience can get an idea of sort of what that looks like. So our methods, data were collected from a total of 81 participants. There was a lot of work to recruit participants, particularly there's a prostate cancer nurse navigator at the Gibbs Cancer Institute in Spartanburg, South Carolina, that was very influential in getting the 81 participants to participate. And so 81 participants participated in formative focus groups. And in those focus groups, we tried to get an idea, well, what do men and women want to know about prostate cancer screening and treatment? How do they make decisions about their health? So there were 81 participants in that portion of the project. That was followed by a pilot education intervention, which was informed by the focus groups, and 56 of the 81 participants from the focus groups participated in the pilot education program, and we have pre- and post-test data from those 56 participants. And then finally, 15 of the 81 participants sort of gave us some ideas about what they thought about the photo voice experience booklet. So 14 of the 81 participants actually went out with their cameras to take pictures and to really talk about how does your environment influences your health and your cancer decision making. So 14 out of the 81 did that, and then 15 of the 81 participants, so all of the participants were mailed this photo voice booklet, and they were also mailed a small survey, like would this booklet impact your health? Did you enjoy the booklet. And so sadly, we only got 15 of those 81 participants to sort of return our survey. But essentially, all of the participants received the Photo Voice booklet, and 14 of them actually went out and took the pictures that were included. And then all the data were collected in the upstate of South Carolina. So just to give a little bit more information about the focus groups in particular, so there were 22 focus groups that were about 90 to 120 minutes. Half were done with men, half were done with women, and we really tried to make sure that if there was a female focus group, that there was an African-American female that was conducting the focus group, and same going for an African-American male conducting the focus group with all of the African-American men. A 19-item discussion protocol was co-developed by the research team, program partners, as well as the Community Advisory Council. So this really was sort of community-driven, community-involved, that helped develop this protocol to really ask questions about how are men and women making decisions about prostate cancer screening and treatment. A little bit more about the pilot education intervention. There were 4 one-hour education sessions, and that was conducted over a one-month period. The topics that were included were, you know, information about prostate cancer in general. So what's the size of the prostate? What are some symptoms that there may be some issues with your prostate? Then particularly prostate cancer screening, as well as how do people participate in clinical research? So if they were asked to participate in clinical research, were they open to it? Was it something that they were afraid of? Were there clinical barriers to participating? And so we talked about that a little bit in the education program as well. And then the pilot intervention survey. So prior to and following the education program, the 4 education sessions, participants completed a 75-item survey to assess their change in prostate cancer knowledge, their clinical trials-related knowledge, as well as their perceptions and behaviors regarding their health and prostate cancer screening. And so that happened prior to and after the education intervention to sort of look at what changes were occurring. And then in terms of the Photo Voice experience, participants, like I stated earlier, were asked to take photos of various aspects of their community and how those things influence how they make decisions about their health. So in the booklet, you'll see that people were talking about the food that they would buy in the grocery store, were there parks in their neighborhood, were there facilities that they could exercise in, things like that. And all of the photos and texts were collected through the Photo Voice experience. We developed them into a project book, and there's one up here, but I'll get some other ones going around also. And then, like I said earlier, an 11-item survey was mailed to those participants to evaluate the potential impact of the booklet. And so we did send that through the mail. And this is the front page of what the booklet looks like. Okay, so now to sort of some of the results, and I'll sort of go through, I'll first talk about the formative focus groups, then the pilot education intervention, and then talk a little bit about the Photo Voice experience. There were a lot of methods to this project. So the focus groups really revealed that African-American men and women's prostate cancer knowledge was limited. So there was a lot of things that these men and women didn't know about prostate cancer. Their perceptions about who was at the highest risk for prostate cancer included African-Americans, which is good because they are at higher risk for prostate cancer, older adults. We know that the older you get, the more likely you are to develop prostate cancer. And then those individuals that lived unhealthy lifestyles. So individuals that may smoke, individuals that were overweight, they really sort of thought that those groups of people would be at a higher risk for developing prostate cancer, which are great perceptions because those things do sort of play out in the literature. The focus group findings also showed that men often did rely on their female significant others, which we sort of thought in the beginning, which is why we wanted to involve women in the process as well. So they really do rely on female significant others or family members in terms of how do they make decisions about their health. And they also rely on their doctors as well. So they get a lot of information from their doctors. Women really describe their role and responsibility as assisting their male partners in the health and cancer-related decisions. So really sort of being in there to maybe get them into the doctor's office, or once they're there, how do they make decisions about getting screened, or how do they make decisions if they are diagnosed about what types of treatment options are available to them. And then in terms of the pilot education intervention, African-American men's and women's prostate cancer knowledge scores did increase from pre to post-test, and on the next slide I'll give you a little bit of idea of what that looks like. Most of the men and women reported having enough information to make a decision about their health, either all or most of the time. So they felt like after they had come from a doctor's visit, they were armed with enough information to make an informed decision. They understood the risk, they understood the benefits. So that was a good thing to know, that people felt like they were knowledgeable enough to make a decision. Shared decision-making was the most reported form of health-related decision-making at both pre- and post-test. And so really what that means is that individuals are making decisions not just based on what they thought, but based on recommendations from their doctor, as well as recommendations from their female significant others. And particularly if we're talking about prostate cancer treatment, thinking about things that involve sort of sexual dysfunction and things like that, female family members, particularly significant others, were really important in that decision-making. These are some of the items from the pilot education intervention that were notable. So one of the knowledge items is the prostate is between the bladder and the penis. So at pretest, 51% said yes, that's right. Post-test, 91%. Decreased urine is a symptom of prostate cancer, 41% at pretest, 94% at post-test, and then so on. So, you know, after the education intervention, men and women's knowledge did increase about prostate cancer screening and treatment. Okay, and now in terms of the photo voice experience, and this all happened after the education intervention. So the participants were involved in the photo voice experience. They felt empowered by becoming more aware of the factors that sort of influence how they make decisions about their health. So they really became more aware of their environment. So what sort of groceries are available at their local food market, what places are available in their neighborhood or their walking trails or their parks. They were sort of more, they noticed them more. The participants that participated noticed if those things were available to them. They also felt like they were able to sort of better communicate what were their barriers or facilitators to making health decisions, so what things sort of hindered them from making a decision about their health, but what things also helped them to make those decisions. Participants also reported that the photo voice experience did sort of influence a change in their behavior, particularly in their dietary behavior. So a lot of people that participated in the photo voice experience or that received the booklet said that they sort of started eating a little bit healthier or they exercised a little bit more. So it did kind of prompt them to change. And then finally, you know, most of the participants did report that it did make an impact on their health decision making, which we think is a great thing. I guess sort of in closing, some of the conclusions and recommendations that we have. This study really did provide valuable information that we think can help researchers or other community members understand how African-American men and women make decisions about their health. We really hope that future community-based work uses sort of a formative approach to really influence the intervention that's being developed, which is what we did. We did those formative focus groups to really influence the education intervention that we use. And really, the mixed methods approach, so having the formative sort of qualitative work with focus groups, having the education intervention with the pre- and post-test survey, as well as the photo voice experience, really gave us a more sort of holistic picture of how men and women make decisions about their health. So that was really, really important as well. I think that is it. I certainly want to acknowledge our partners, in particular the Spartanburg-Gibbs Cancer Center and Research Institute, US2 International, which is a prostate cancer program that is up in the community, and of course our funders. And that's it.